contact or and contact and then time to record. Oh, so it will be showing that it's recording through this flashing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine.
Number
one. Number
two. Hey, this is Kuala Kutu Varumnya. Okay, good afternoon. My boss Cindy says I should apologize for the mix-up. We were supposed to be in, or we informed you that we were going to be in another committee room, but there was a mix-up and we had to revert to this committee room, which is a bit cramped. So we apologize to you for that. And she will inform members where we are tomorrow, because there seems to be some mix-up with Parliament and the committee rooms that have been allocated. But she will inform you tomorrow where we are to do our own business. That out of the way, we'd like to welcome the department, specifically the IT section of the department. We've held consultations with the senior managers last week. We had consultation with the investigative and the legal arms yesterday. We're having an engagement with you as IT today, and Cindy indicates to me that sometime next week or in the near future we'll be meeting with internal audit and the audit committee. And all this because we need to conclude and present our report to Parliament in terms of the budget review process. So that is the context in which we are meeting today. To our friends from the media and from the ministry and anybody and everybody else, including Vincent Makakula, you all welcome. We are going to allow the department to do a presentation, and after that we will then engage with the matters that emerge from there. But before we do that, and maybe we should first of all allow the department to introduce itself, because it's not the normal people we see. After you introduce yourselves, we're going to tell you what is it that we expect of you and why we've called you here. Members, I'm sure all of you know, if you want members to introduce themselves, we will do that, but it's important that we understand who's here from the department and also the AG's office. You will have an opportunity to introduce yourself thereafter. I'm not sure who's leading it, Ms. Hina. Yep.
Chairperson, thank you. Let me start off by giving apologies from the National Commissioner. He is in a presentation to Cabinet this morning in Pretoria, so he's unable to be with the delegation today. Myself, I'm Jenny Schreiner, CDC OMS. I'm going to hand over to people to introduce themselves. Ms. Morji.
Is it too out in hospital?
My understanding is that he was not admitted to hospital, that he'd gone for tests or something of that nature.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Jeff Muji. I'm the acting head of IT in the department.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable
members. Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is P. Gombambo. I'm the Deputy Commissioner responsible for intergovernmental relations. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Thabo Hlongwane, HR Planning.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. My name is Lucky Kitty Show. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. My name is Lucky
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Terence Rathrock. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Executive Management.
Good morning. My name is Sam Maboja, Director in Deputy Minister's Office.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Musa Hlongwa, from the Auditor General.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Members. I'm Anita Ferreira. I'm from the Auditor General, responsible for Information Systems Audit at the Department of Correctional Services.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm very happy that that the AG's office is here and that if CFO and Ms. Shrine, are you here? Because it is a crisis situation that we are in DCS. We're in a crisis situation. I just think it's inconceivable. It's inconceivable to think of something like a hospital, a hotel, a school operating without an IT system that is reliable. It's inconceivable. It will never happen anywhere else. Correctional Services is a hospital, it's a school, it's a hotel, it's a security environment, and we don't have an IT system to talk about. So it's a crisis situation, Ms. Reiner and Sokel. The department has had qualifications for the past 17 years. It's never had a clean audit. And it's never going to have a clean audit unless we fix up the IT system. It's never going to have a clean audit. And we have said when we started this department that if there's anything we're going to do in our lifetime, this term, is to leave with this department moving away from a serial qualified department to a clean audit department. So therefore, either we're going to go or you're going to go. Because it's not going to resolve itself unless we fix up the IT system. Therefore, we are in a crisis mode. It's a department Ms. Reiner, that when you guys sat down and you identified the top 10 risks in your department, this is a division that had two in those top 10. It had two in the top 10 of the high risks in this department. Going through your annual report this morning and last night, you acquired 45 million rands worth of CAPEX. There's computer services, Mr. Self, 2009 and 2010, of 227 million rand. Just computer services, there's consultancy fees of 1.1 billion rand. Now, it's not all IT, but I can assure you the majority of that 1.1 billion rand of consultancy fees is IT people. So we're talking about a hell of a lot of money that this department is using and has used in the past 2 years. And it's not going to continue. I don't think we're going to allow it to continue. It's just, and I indicated, I don't know if you were here, Ms. Reiner, maybe you'd understand it better. But in a security environment like we are in, because we're not a service provision, and we're a security environment, when the IT doesn't work and when the entire department is run by consultants, the entire department is run by consultants or people that are acting, then we have a political problem. Then we have a political problem. It's no longer an administrative problem. It's a political problem. I think there's something, and then we'll get into it, I think there's something like 157 or 180-something consultants running around in DCS doing the work, and an almost 100% vacancy rate in DCS. Mm-hmm. Ngiyakulunga madoda. It's not going to be allowed to continue. So I'm reiterating, I'm glad the AG and your people are here. We're expecting you, AG, to intervene and assist these members when you think that the department is saying something that is blatantly false or not going to be able to work. Because we're all on this thing on the same side. We have to find solutions. And I can indicate to you, Ms. Ryan and Scott Sokela, that we meet on the 1st or sometime in November. Cindy will let you know in our annual, our quarterly meetings. We want this department to come back and give us a progress report. And every quarterly meeting going forward, we want this department to give us its progress report, because it is the make or break of our mission as the portfolio committee to move from a qualified to a clean audit department. Having said that, I'm going to allow you 45 minutes, Chief, to do your presentation. I'm informed that there are overheads that we've received, but it's exactly the same as what we had in Word. We'll allow them 45 minutes, and then we'll allow members to engage on the presentation and anything else that you'd like to engage on, and we'll take it from there. Thank you very much, Pa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Struggling with the mic here. I hope everyone can hear me. If they don't, I'll throw my voice. Chairperson and honorable members, I think my first experience was around March when I came here for the first time, and we heard about the challenges that we've had. On Friday, we did submit the Word document, and we made a decision to do a presentation that talks to the Word document. So we apologize for doing it late, but something that we decided to do after we did the Word document. So one of the things that were asked on that document was the challenges that are found, and we decided to sum them up in this way. At a strategic level, when one looks at the IT of the department, governance, which is what the Auditor General has talked about, is one of the key challenges that need to be sorted out. I said here for IT applications, but we across the board, infrastructure, service management, and so on and so forth. We found multiple technologies at stakeholder centers. For example, if you go to Brantley and Baron Buffels, and you go to another center, you find that there are different technologies run by different companies in those environments. There haven't been, in the last couple of years, proper planning in terms of the way you roll out the infrastructure and so on, and you'll see on when I go to the details later on. There is an IT policy, but there's no centralized policy and therefore no adherence to standards. So policies are not automated as you would normally do in a normal IT environment. No use application tools for management reporting. I think, Chairperson, you mentioned that in the last meeting that I attended about the incorrectness of the data and so on and so forth. And then service management across the entire organization is a challenge. Now, when you take this a step lower and you look at the operational level, now you're talking about bits and bytes and bits, and I won't go too technical, but you have islands of different types of data. You have integrity that's lacking, shaky relationships with service providers who have started projects, and these projects, some of them have been stopped, and so on and so forth. Business processes are not efficient, and therefore, when you automate and you talk about new applications, you find that you're automating in a vacuum type of thing. There's excessive intervention and handoffs. And training in general, I used an example of Microsoft and Office and all that, but in general, there's a lack of training for users. IT human resources is not properly coordinated for the good of the entire department. I will go into the details here later on. So this is summing up what we have on the report over there. Now, if you go to the next level, the network was planned and designed many years ago, and it's what we call a flat network, where really, what this means is that we're just broadcasting. We are connected to other departments because we are not properly designed. As we grow, we are not capable of holding the information. And therefore, if there's a virus coming from any department that we can think of, that we are connected to, then we just broadcast it among ourselves and even to other departments. I won't go into IP. I don't want to be technical, Chairperson. It's very difficult to find faults. Viruses, you know, I started around March, and there's been a challenge just to get antivirus software with CETA's involvement. I'm told that it's taken about 1.5 years just to get that sorted out. We started at that level, and it's still a challenge because of the network and so on and so forth. Slow application responses and poor user experience. Now, when you're talking about threat security, is another concern where there's no proper security for the network. The management is quite limited. You know, there are tools in there, but because of the, what you call the architecture of the network, you cannot manage the network properly. Standardization, you have different tools or equipment that's in there, and they're not properly coordinated, and there's no version control in terms of what's new out in the market and so on. No scope for control growth. So this is just on the network side. Going forward now, this I did include on my presentation on the document where you're talking about 800 servers across the department. This, Chairperson and honorable members, is abnormal. It's very abnormal to have 800 servers in an environment, really. And when you read other reports whose detail I didn't include here, you find that there's something called a domain name server that tells you about the servers that you have in the network. That, on its own, is improperly configured, meaning that there could be other servers in the environment that we are not even aware of. A firewall is something that blocks intruders from coming from outside. I was made to believe that out of the 600 that are in there, about 200 are not properly configured, meaning that you know, anyone can come in and do whatever they want to do. I touched a little bit on backups. I think that's one of the areas where the commissioner had questions when I started to assist the department. And then 37 million rands were spent, and the equipment was thrown all over the country, and it's not being used, to make a long story short. CETA issues, I'll go in detail about that. But what's troubling is also that when I was asked to come and ask, because I think the CETA had left, I was confronted with a document where I was told that it's going to cost 3.2 billion rands over 3 years to sort out the infrastructure challenges that we have. We did a separate exercise and found out that you know, it's going to be done at a cost of a savings of more than 2 billion rands. So that tells you that the planning was just haphazard and just technology was just thrown in there, and if there was no intervention, then we still continue the same mess at a higher price. Human resources?
Before you carry on, HR is here. This man is acting. When do you expect to have this position filled? Because I don't want to talk to somebody that is not going to be here tomorrow. That's why we asked HR to be here. Can we, because otherwise he must cut it. Can we have a sense of when are we going to find stability in the IT department? I'm looking at you, ma'am, in corporate services. Can you give us some indication? Sorry, Jeff. The question that I'm asking is, you've been acting for what, more than 3 months, 4 months, 5 months?
Yes, about
7 months that we've had an acting, anybody can answer. We have somebody acting for 7 months. President in March said that it is unacceptable that vacancies are not filled within days or something like that. We can go to his door. We are acting for 7 months. I just want to have a sense, CFO and Ms. Reiner, because we really don't want to talk to somebody who will not be here come end of the financial year, because we are wasting our time. So we just want to get a sense of the stability, and I know it's going to be very difficult because you must go through a process, but rather answer the question, when do you expect that position to be finalized?
The committee has committed that the position will be finalized before the end of the financial year. 25 at the time. The only thing that is left now is to do the shortlisting and the interview.
Can we, fine, can we appeal that whoever the incumbent is, that that incumbent gets thoroughly briefed on what we're discussing today, if it is different to whoever it is that is briefing us today, because we don't want to have this discussion with somebody new. I guess that's what we are saying. Whoever the incumbent is must be informed of the developments of today. Thanks, Jeff. Sorry. Continue, Bob.
Thank you, Chairperson. The current status, I think I was just talking about just a few human resource relations to you. You've had an overwhelming presence of consultants and officials who really are not up there technically in terms of their understanding and providing thought leadership on the infrastructure, service management, and applications and environment. The Director of Systems Development and Deputy Director of Information Security have been suspended as we speak. Deputy Director of Networks has been dismissed, and a case of child pornography has been opened against him with the police. It's reported as we're going through the regions that there could be around 200 network controllers who are in charge of these 800 servers. And when you look at the spreadsheet, some of these would say this is somebody's PA who's in charge of the server and all that kind of stuff. There were about 83 IT consultants at the beginning of the year, and about 50 or so were on a special project called RDOMS. And since then, the number has gone down, as I'll show later on. I think I've mentioned some of the challenges in consultants, as you rightfully mentioned, having been found to be involved in highly, highly questionable activities where there was contravention of procurement processes. Now, we said as a way of moving forward, and this has been socialized with National Management Committee, the first thing that you need to start with is efficiency. Make sure that you have an enabler and you become a strategic asset as IT. Now, because of the mess that's within the department, I think the first thing that needs to be happen is just a relook at the infrastructure to sort out the network and the server environment and security. IT skills, we're talking about now making sure that there will be transfer of skills from the consultants to the new people who are coming in. There are consultants who've been there. One lady has been there for about 25 years as a consultant, and she has pretty much a lot of information on systems and all those kind of things. Structural improvements, here we mean moving quickly with the structure and making sure that we talk to security. While we're doing that, core systems, integration with IJS are the key things. And then you start looking at other things that you are able to do as a strategic partner once you have your basic infrastructure and everything ready, like your forecasting and all this kind of type of things. Now, we are right for this year and the next year. We decided that we're going to start with back-to-basics, infrastructure and so on, but we'll still be dabbling into the other areas going forward, but infrastructure is key. There's nothing can do without that. So the implication of that is that we have to stop all development on a key application called RDOMS, because the Auditor General and common sense from someone who understands IT is that it was not done properly. The way it was designed was not. So we stopped that, but we said business must continue to prepare the environment going forward so that they'll be ready to absorb it. The next slide talks to...
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt now and then.
Okay.
You know, don't say RDOMS to Umam Gwenya. She doesn't understand RDOMS. Just explain what RDOMS does and explain what everything does,
okay,
because you're talking to laymen in terms of IT technology.
My apologies, and thanks, Chairperson, for stopping me. RDOMS is an application that I found being developed jointly by the department, CETA, and Dimension Data. The intent was to look at the value chain of all the processes from when someone comes in as a demand retainee to the time they go to parole, to automate that whole process. The intent also was, on paper, to replace more than 54 or so applications standalone, to have just one application where you can have different modules as someone goes through the whole version. I think it stands for remand detention.
It's the remand detention and offender management system. That's where the...
Now, this is another view of what needs to happen. We are more than basic. We are less than basic, actually. So we need to ramp up and move to being standardized, to being advanced. The dynamic thing we can look at a little bit later, where we are a strategic asset. But right now, we need to do first things first. Now, another way of looking at it is to say, this is how an organization, when we say an organization is reactive, which is what we all know, problem management is a problem right now. Help desk is not working well. Random planning that has taken place, even though the planning now is now focused for the last 6 months or so. Firefighting in a way. Now, Auditor General would zoom in into those, but now also other things that have been raised is change management as you get new systems and applications, asset management, and so on, planning, capacity planning, and so on and so forth. As an organization matures in terms of service, we define and we start automating certain things. I talked about sales and marketing in a different context here. The way we market the department out there within what services government has to do, not in the sense of saying we need to sell offenders or anything like that. And then the last thing that one talks to is demand focusing, intelligence, and so on and so forth. But first things have to be dealing with that reactive part of the presentation. Now, part of what we did was to say governance is key. Government, the Auditor General uses a framework called COBIT, which stands for Control Objectives for Information and Related Technologies. And he talks about governance as being key. Now, we need to do the whole structure, pretty much basing it on proper governance. And once we do that, we said, okay, let's look at a few items that we need to consider. Structure is key going forward. We said the number of consultants, while minimizing the risk of sabotage, has to be gotten into. We said we need to implement IT governance now in its truest sense. We need to design and automate best practice security processes. We need to redesign a secure network and a consolidated, efficient, and secure server environment. We need to rationalize the application and environment and consolidate those 50 or so standalone applications into as few as possible. We need to improve our relationships and delivery with service providers. And here I said CETA, but we're talking about service management and service providers in general. Enterprise architecture. Chairperson, in the last meeting that I attended, you talked about data integrity and so on. And enterprise architecture is that type of thing that you need in simple terms before you start with your rolling out your technology. It talks, for example, to how you're going to do your data to make sure there's integrity, about the architecture of your applications, your infrastructure, and your security, and the business architecture. And I'll talk about the timelines for doing this. The structure that we just talked about, when we started, there was a structure of four DC positions, and we did a whole lot of work looking at the services that are planned, the projects, the skill sets, as I mentioned, we have the challenges in there, and then the structure was unpacked in a manner that reflects what needs to be done by IT. That process is still going on to refine the understanding of the services and therefore the structure. This is the approved structure where you have your CDC, DCG, and I think that's what the CFO was looking to. And underneath them, you have the office of the GITO, and then applications, infrastructure, service management, and meta management. What we did was we just changed one thing here. We took, because of the need for architecture and data integrity and all those things, we proposed that this position of DC vendor management should be incorporated into service management, and architecture should be a key thing that's looked at to make sure that your data is done properly. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I should have just shown that slide there. Okay, now, after doing all the work that I showed on the circles earlier on, we started to unpack the structure. So these are the functions. Now, these functions, we are in the process where we engaged HR now. We're saying these functions have to be turned into positions, and then there's a lot of vetting that has to go in there to make sure that their piece at the right level. But at the same time, we've started to advertise certain positions, and some on, from the old structure are being moved into the new structure. In terms of advertised posts, deputy commissioner applications and infrastructure have been advertised. Shortlisting is going to be done, and the undertaking is that it needs to be, this process will be completed by the end of this month. 14 level 7 network controllers, interviews are complete. We're busy appointing now. HR is actually calling people to say you can start on the 1st of November. 10 junior programmers, the same thing as the network controllers. And these are junior positions. We just felt that we cannot wait for the top rank to be completely done when we have people that we need to absorb the work that's been done by consultants. Project administrators, shortlisting to be done. Policy coordinator interviews, we've shortlisted. I think interviews are going to be done. The ASD admin sec, secretary, shortlisting to be done. The state accountant, we have a challenge there where we have a serious situation where you have consultants actually managing the budget of IT. And there's no one with the skills to actually take that up and run with it. The director IT security, which is quite critical, is taken from the old structure and moved to the new structure. The advert is with HR, and these are the positions. Can I move on, Chair?
Yes,
thank you. Around the 15th of June, we released about 30 consultants at a saving of about 25 million. The reason why it took a little bit longer was I had to understand what impact we're going to have by yanking people. So you have to be strategic in how, who you yank out and how you do that. We're going to reapply the savings to goods and services, to infrastructure, and so on and so forth. We still have about 50 consultants who are still on board. The other 50 that I said were on the RDOMS project have actually left because we stopped development. But the challenge that we have is that there's been dependency created on these consultants, and it's going to be, in my view, dangerous just to let everyone go. You know, it has to be staggered over time. So the target is to target about 10 more before the end of the financial year, and then continue to reduce as we get the structure filled up. And we are involved in a project. This is a massive exercise where we're saying across all of IT, we started with all officials, the few that we have, to say we need to use what you call a balanced IT, an IT balance scorecard to make sure that you know, there's customer focus, there's financial contribution, maturity, and learning going on in the department. There is, I found within officials, there's lack of willingness to embrace technology and move on and do things in a structured way. I mean, there are some officials who are slightly refusing. They're saying, you know, even though I'm in IT, I don't want to learn anything new. There's an older gentleman who will tell you, I don't want to learn anything. But we're saying for them to qualify for to be in the new structure, there has to be willingness. So we're starting this. We're starting with officials. And we are also going to get assistance, external assistance, to say the 50 consultants who are in, let's redo the KPIs and make sure that they deliver to what they need to deliver and have now a realistic time frame in terms of who is going to leave when and what the criterion will be for us to say this person has handed over whatever they've done to the department. But one of the key things is to resuscitate the project on that key application of all outcomes, to make sure that these 54 applications, when we close them, there will be work done. And the 10 programmers and network controllers that we're bringing there, I see them, even if I might not be there, but I see them as a very, very solid foundation for IT for the future. Because we're talking about, we selected highly, not skilled, but guys who showed initiative. You know, some, I think two of them have been university professors, not professors, lecturers who are doing voluntary work and so on, and they showed flexibility in terms of looking at technology and saying, yeah, this is where we're going, maybe this is how we can do things. And I think we need to start with at the level so that we don't have to take the old group of people who will be resistant to change and just throw them into a new environment. Obviously, there'll be a mix, but we felt that that was quite important. The AG, I said that governance is a key thing, and I've mentioned that. And we found it necessary to look at governance. Now, the way you do it, really, there are three key documents that you use. This is the first one that's used by the OCHA General, and these frameworks are the what we call world-class frameworks that you have to use. When many years ago, when I was a founding member of the GITO Council, we adopted this as a first document to enable uniformity in terms of governance within government. The next one is called International Organization for Standards, but this is security across. You know, you go to NIA, you go to ESCOM, you go everywhere. When you're talking about security, this is a standard that we have that has to be implied. And the last one is, it talks infrastructure, but it talks mostly about how you do your services, how you roll out your new applications, how you do your asset management, how do you deal with your problems, and so on and so forth. These are the key ones that we are now planning. We've been planning for the last couple of weeks to see how do we start now with the knowledge that we're having infrastructure renewal coming. How do you make sure that we are in compliance with that? I'll skip the slide because it just talks to you how you implement it. This is the key one that talks about security. When you look at what we have there, we have 27,001 and 27,002. Those two are the ones that we're starting to realign the IT policy with. Now, the IT policy is on, there is one that's existing, but we just refreshed it to make sure that we are aligned with best practice, and it's on its way to the commissioner for ratification, and then we'll go through the whole cycle of finalization. And then as we go on, then we can, the vision, I'm not Jefferson working as someone who's acting. We're working to say work needs to be done and that work needs to be happened. The vision that I have is that we need to have the security of technology, starting with IT, certified to be secure, so to say. So that's what we'll be driving at. I won't go into the details, but when you unpack that, you have about 23 or so policies. We have some that have been signed, some that have not been signed, but the challenge that you have is that they're not automated. So there's nothing good in saying, I have this policy signed and that is not signed. If it's not automated and it's not aligned with your 27,000 series, then you're as good as not doing well. Okay, on the network and sub-environment, the design of the new national core of the network, it's complete. I think my mouth is trying to... It's done. The design of the new Microsoft server environment is also done, but these are on paper. We're starting the procurement process, and we're looking at nationally how we're going to make sure that the email challenge that we have is now being sorted out. Now, the design includes provision for around 15,000 desktop units across the entire department. This will take some time, but it's going to be staggered in time. And then the design of the new server environment for legal systems. Now, these 54 or so applications that are sitting there, we cannot switch them off. We need to put them and house them in the new data center as we are building new applications and switch them off little by little or one by one at a time. The network and server security infrastructure is complete. Now, when we designed the network thing, we aligned it with this ISO security standard to make sure that it's complete. And we're asking the security, the original equipment manufacturer to actually certify that it's secured. Unlike the situation where you had in Tswelopele, Kimberley, where my predecessors just came in, we rolled out the situation, and the OEM, original equipment manufacturer, couldn't even certify that the solution is secure. Okay, disaster recovery planning will be rolled out in phases, but I'll show you on the next slide on how it's going to be done. Okay, the visual private network, we're in discussion with CETA. Actually, we'll be having workshops. There are workshops going on today, and on Friday I'll be leading the team to make sure that we move from the old CETA network to the new one that's more efficient. The network for head office, done. The only thing that we alerted the commissioner about is that there will be minor losses there where you're talking about cabling. If you move to a new center, we'll move the main components, the switches and so on, but the cabling will just have to leave there, so that's an understanding. Smaller centers is still in progress because at the smaller centers, we're looking at different technologies in terms of your mobile connectivity and security along this environment. We just decided to prioritize the big centers. Brownsley and Baron-Bockfeld networks complete and Van Rensdorp, and we engaged CETA. We're starting the procurement on those. You'll recall that these are the ones that we stopped because we found different vendors. For example, if you went to Brownsley and you look at the server room in there, the standards are not the standards that are applicable. They are not NIA standards. So security is compromised. We found an area where we were told, I think this was in New Kimberley, for example, that we cannot even go in there are servers in there, so let's go in, this company runs this environment and so on. So we decided to do a complete redesign of everything without going piecemeal and saying this place will be done separately and so on and so on. We're in the process of procuring Eastern Cape. After the meeting, the last meeting that we had at Pretoria, we had a team looking at the challenges in Eastern Cape, and we did cabling, and it's mostly cabling, really. Well, there is a lot of computer requirements, but we started with cabling because that's the key thing. You know, if you have a computer and you stand alone, then you cannot pretty much connect and work. Engaging CETA for us to move to an efficient network, and also engaging them on the VPN. The intent was to have that virtual private network switched on by the end of December. But we have reality is that CETA told us that I think they have a DOJ and SAS, I don't remember well, I speak out in the correction, that they're dealing with, and you know, they don't have capacity to pretty much help us in that regard. This is what we've done in terms of what I've talked about. You know, we have a network core. Now, facilities is going to look out for a facility for us. Backups that we never were doing correctly now are going to be automated in one center. We have a server farm that will have the new infrastructure and the old, and then the disaster recovery. My estimation was that it can take 3 years to maturity, depending on the funds that are available and the appetite for risk for the department. So this is a huge project that we're going to start with. But the good thing is that the backup will be automated as we do. The design for the backup system is done also. Mobility, the new design has room for mobility and for remote sites, but the remote sites part is not complete. And we started to say in phase one, this is what we're targeting in terms of the infrastructure for networks. Pretoria, Johannesburg, Boksburg, Morabi, Durban, Posmo, Tata, St. Albans, Barton, and Port Klee, and of course Brantley, Warrenburg, and Van Rensdorp. And the phase one includes head office and all regional offices. So that's the design that we're hoping, if procurement processes work well, we'll take delivery, I could say conservatively speaking, around the 1st or the 15th of January, but there's a possibility that even around before the closure in December, there could be delivery, and we're trying to ask CETA to help us to speed up the process. But reality is that it might take us a little bit longer, to January instead of December. What would be nice is that if you had that in December, then we could ask technicians to start rolling out solutions while everyone is not in place. Okay, we also looked at what we call quick wins, really, that the things that needs to be done going forward, the things that the next CETO will have to look at. One of them is governance. We started to look at that. Security automation, I've talked to that. Improved connectivity in terms of your infrastructure and network and so on. Backup, disaster planning. Business process management. I can't say enough of that. Because the challenge is that the understanding generally is that once you have your servers and everything, then everything is fine. You know, you need to have business involved because IT supports business, and that's what needs to happen. Business intelligence would be extracting information now from your correct databases and doing what-if scenarios and so on. And there's a new trend now where we're looking at software as a service, where you don't have to necessarily have infrastructure, but you can have certain things. I don't want to go into detail, but there's this thing called cloud computing, which is a security environment where you can take certain services, like, for example, your help desk. You can go on to software as a service, but there are certain critical things that need to be kept in there. Collaboration, and on that we think about single sign-on, one version of the truth, and not mixing up, saying this person logged in here as one person, and then he went in there as another person. Chairperson, you asked us to talk about the relationship with CETA, and I was hoping that CETA would be here, but one of the challenges has been the service level agreement. You'll recall that was mentioned. We just had the one for this year, finally gotten to a point where we could sign on the 12th of this month, which was last week. So those have been signed, and hopefully payments will start on the service that CETA is doing. Technical assistance on those projects. Remember I mentioned that RDOMs and EDRMS, other projects that have been done. We found that where CETA has been a partner, there were challenges in terms of technical leadership, given the fact that within the department there was also a lack of of strategic thinkers in there. So you find a situation where this project that are supposed to be going on for 6 months end up running for 30 months or so. So far. Now, the commission has started to meet with the new CEO of CETA, and we decided the discussion will continue. But from our side, what we suggested was that we need to work on what we need to deliver on while they are deliberating at that level. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I need to go into detail on this slide. This pretty much talks to governance, data governance. When you talk about data integrity, I'll just mention a few things here. You need to make sure you have your strategy on the data before you even took applications on the board. You need to make sure that there's a way in which you're going to manage your data, which is a challenge. You need to make sure that you talk to data security. You need to talk about your data, your beginning level of your data in simple terms. You need to talk about how you're going to put this thing in what we call a data warehouse, which is a secured repository that can be used now for extracting reports and so on and so on. The quality of the data and so on. The situation that we have right now is that you have any solution provider coming in and say, this is how you're doing data management. And then we start saying, we're migrating data, we're moving data, we're doing that, and that doesn't lead us much to any progress. In terms of the timelines, Chairperson, these are the high level, and this is going to be an iterative process. All four decisions, DC positions filled, the target is 31st of March, but the two ones that you're thinking about target being the end of October. The remainder of the new structure, we're saying 50% filled by 30 September. We'll try to move this as quickly as possible, but when we say the remainder, we're talking about now going down to all the levels as we define the services. The challenge that we have is that some of these skills, for example, when you talk about an area called enterprise architecture, there's scarcity of skills and all that. So we decided to be a little bit more conservative on that, even though we'll be pushing. Reduced number of consultants, we said 50% reduction by 31st March, but if we can do it quicker, all the better. Governance, 35% implemented. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on governance. We said 35% design and automate best practice security, 60% by 31st March. Network design, pretty much it's not 100%. That I think I made a mistake here, Chairperson. But I could say 80%, pretty much, because most of it now will be replicating what you have on centers that are of similar size and so on. And by 31st of March, we're looking at about 30%. We're thinking if we can look at those nine big centers, it's going to be easier to hook up the smaller ones going forward. In terms of the application environment, we say 100% rationalized. By rationalized, we mean the application environment should have controls and proper governance to make sure that when you design your systems, things are done properly, and the segmentation of duties and so on and so forth. And you don't have a situation where someone who drives the program comes and tests it and says, okay, you know, you need to have a separate person doing that. We will also be addressing a lot of things that were pulled up by the OCA General in terms of asset management, intangible assets, and so on and so forth. So in short, when we rationalize, we think we need to make the application environment ready by the end of February so that we can now start looking at the redesigning or buying or whatever the situation might be. Business agreements complete with CETA. I said that we did that. There's one that maybe we still are going to talk to them. They're talking about disaster recovery, and we don't have that. SLAs, signed and payments effected. We were late on this one, except 31st August, but we did that last week. Initiation and planning on architecture. This is one major project. Right now, we are looking at what you call the as-is. Today, what do we look like in all environments and documenting that so that we can start mapping the way forward in terms of our architecture. But this is going to take quite some time, a number of years to get it to the point where, you know, it's perfect. But that's where we think we'll be going. In short, I think that's all I needed to say. I must say in summing up that, yes, it is a very, very difficult environment. You know, I'll just say, for example, just sorting out the issue with consultants, I mean, there were a whole lot of backlash in terms of you know, backstabbing, personal assassination, all that. I won't get into the details, but indeed, it is an extremely difficult environment to be in. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, sir. AJ, talk to us. You know, in my previous life, you were the guys that taught me about the SMART concept. Isn't it? You taught me about that in my previous life. And I've been in this game long enough to know that departments come and give us all sorts of sweet stories and hope that MPs will leave here saying, well, grand, that department is going to sort itself out. You need to indicate to us, one, is this thing achievable? Two, is it affordable? And three, should we invest in that, in your view? Because, I mean, you've been working here for a while. I also want to say to you, DCS, November 2012 is just not good enough for us because it's 3 months before the financial year end in 2013 and another 12 months before our term ends. We're not going to give you a situation where we've got 12 months to achieve our goal. So you're going to have to find a way of shortening that November 2012. But I want the AG to be able to talk to us. This that these guys are giving us, is that going to enable them to achieve our mission of a clean audit in our lifetime?
Honorable Chair, we have done an audit also on the IT system, which we use to support our financial audit. It has been our concern as far as governance is concerned, as far as security is concerned, and mainly as far as the vacant positions are concerned or the positions that are amended by consultants. But let me just ask my colleague, who is the IT auditor, maybe to give you more insight.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I have to agree with Correctional Services that, and also with Honourable Chair, that we are really in a very, very difficult situation with Correctional Services. I think they're very optimistic because it's a huge task lying ahead because of, I would say, really looking into this and keep the IT up to date because, I mean, IT is changing tremendously. And if we look at, for example, our reports, some of these issues, this is not the first time from the Auditor General that we highlighted the key issues to the Correctional Services. I think also this year from my side to support my colleague from the financial side, we focus a lot on the IT and we wanted to elevate and put the awareness of the situation because we're just falling behind all the time. When we talk about the Corbett framework, I mean, that is really the first area that Correctional Services has to focus on is on the IT governance framework because that gives you the baseline. However, that is also the framework that is currently with Cabinet for approval for implemented throughout government to be the approved framework to be implemented in all IT environments within government. When we talk specifically, and I think with, on the financial side, we call it transversal systems that we're looking at, and that is logos, basin, and partial. Now, Correctional Services do not have a lot of power around these systems because it's transversal. The owner is National Treasury. Now, going forward is that they embarked from a government point of view on the upgrading, or I don't know if any of you heard about the IFMS. That is where government is currently looking because the BAS partial and logos is very legacy system. So they are now building systems for government that is more technology, it's integrated, it's much more on the where we should be as a government in total. Now, for example, I had a discussion with Musa around this, specifically on the asset side. And that can maybe, from correctional services side, that they can maybe have discussions with National Treasury. Because we're much involved in IFMS from the Auditor General side. And there was lead sites where they identified, for example, the lead sites for the asset register module was rolled out in Limpopo at four departments, provincial departments. So I said to Musa, maybe it can be a very good discussion also with National Treasury to look at specifically the asset register module that's already been rolled out that will help them on the area that they really have challenges with on the assets. When we look at the presentation that the acting Gita provided to the committees, yes, it's very important because we have two lines. We have the service delivery side and we have the financial system side. Now, both partial logos, like I said, there's very little that the correctional services can really embark on but to have conversations with National Treasury to see will they do any development on logos to assist them with the qualification that they had. But for the service delivery, this is the module that we have to focus on by starting at IT governance, getting the right resources, skills. But mostly what I'm missing in the key driver should be business. And I had not a lot of details. I know the acting Gita asked us for a meeting for next week to meet with him. But I don't see really the role, the key role that business needs to play in this whole presentation. IT cannot drive this. We have to understand from an IT point of view, where does business want to be? Is that in line of the vision of the acting Gita? So that is just for me a link that we just need to have conversations with on correctional services, if this is in line where business want them to be, because IT needs to support business. Business must not drive them.
Thank you very much. That's why Ms. Ryan is here, because she's the architect of business and her strat plans and so on. That's why we asked the department to be here, but we will talk to that. Indeed, it is... IT must support business and not the other way around. But let's open it up to members. You've heard it, members. It's your time to engage. Let me recognize Mr. Self, and then Sis Paliso, and then Advocate Maxi Saldana Foch.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Which you know, is very encouraging if, as was said, is it can work, because that's after all what it's supposed to do. Just on a sort of introductory note, I noticed that the document that we were given and the presentation, the document says it's confidential and the presentation says it's highly confidential. I'm not sure that we are qualified to receive this information in terms of the protection of state information bill. You know what I mean? on a more serious note, you've mapped out where you want to go forward, but with I think I would also like to look a little bit back, because I want to know what's going to happen to some of the stuff that's already in the department. Now, my recollection is that in 2007, thereabouts, we spent about 20 million rands on backup infrastructure in the department. Around about the same time, there was about 19 million rands spent on switching infrastructure. More recently, there was a lot of money spent on access control technology. You referred to Kimberley, which, gathering from the presentation, sort of useless or not integrated at very least, that stand alone and that it's not part of the plans going forward. What I would like to know And I, you know, it might be difficult, and it might be something that the Auditor General's Department might, or the Department might have to give us, is if we embark on this system going forward, how much money are we basically writing off? How much money have we wasted over the last, say, 5 years on systems that we either can't use or which are incompatible or in some other way not usable? The second thing is that I'd just like to talk about the consultants, because I didn't get the arithmetic quite right. You said in the document that you inherited 83 plus 50 consultants, and that made and the 83 cost 58 million rands for one financial year. Now, if I add 50 and 83, I get 133, and then you say about 30 consultants have gone. That makes 103, but you said there are only about 50 left. Can you explain the missing consultants? I'd just like to know about, because it was raised with us when the Auditor General did his initial briefing to this committee, he was concerned about when consultants go, who owns the intellectual property of those consultants? Do they take it with them? And I see you made mention in the presentation there about the, you know, reducing the risk of what you call sabotage, but I assume on a more benign interpretation that what we're worried about here is people taking their information or their systems or their adaptations or their computer programs with them when they leave. To what extent is that a problem? To what extent has the planning going forward taken that into consideration? Thank you, Chair.
On
that one, yes, I want to
just follow on the consultants. Just on the consultants, otherwise I have to ask again.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. With regard to these consultants, those who left, what is in place now to deal with those work which they did? And did you investigate how many of these consultant companies are the same boss? You know, there's, you know, the culture, different names, but the same owner. Is there anything of that? Thanks.
Nothing new on consultants, on who owns the intellectual property, on fruitless expenditure. I'm only going to allow questions on those so that they can respond. Let me take Palisa and then I'll come to you, Mangwe. Just on those three items.
On the consultants.
That's right.
Yes, Chairperson, you know it's my worry. I'm an anti-consultant member. On the consultants was a concern for the AG for a couple of years. Whether people are acting, they have to respond to us, because the system is not new, although there is a new person acting. The plans that are developed, are they now developed by the very same consultants that are left? And how efficient is the department CFO with the budget that are paying consultants rather than appointing people and training them and having departments officials that must be accountable to the public and to parliament according to the efficiency and the effectiveness of public funds and public money, the spending of it, rather than having consultants for 30 years? It's a very huge concern, Chairperson. I don't know. I assume the previous MPs did address this. I don't think that they never had a concern about these consultants that are there for 30 years. It's a recipe for disaster. And I'm saying that it will be a threat for us to release these consultants, because they are running the system. They are running the business, because they are making profit rather than service delivery.
there is no deliverables, but rather looking for a very cost business plan, very safely costed, so that MPs may not see along the lines that they are driving their business at the carcass of the service delivery of those offenders that we are looking for to do a better moral upliftment for them. Chairperson, to me, I would say that the CFO of this department is not giving us a true reflection on how they are spending this department's public funds. They are not giving us a true reflection. When we alarmingly raising our voice on how they are spending these public funds, they will get information that is confidentially. I also like member self about the information, but it's got nothing to do with this. This is a core business of DCS must take responsibility of looking at the future organogram that they are showing us here. I hope that organogram is going to be implemented, not with us having to inherit a couple of years more of these applications consultants, because they will be going with the information. This system is not effective. This system is not effective, so I can't say if they leave. With what are they going to leave? Because everything was, we need to change this, and we need to do this, we need to do this. So nothing of them was effective anyway. So let them leave. Let them leave, and rather put up vacancies so that DCS can hire people that can be responsible for public funding. Thank you, Chair.
Mangwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me remind you, only on these three, we're not opening new ones. We'll have an opportunity for new ones.
Okay.
Who owns the intellectual property and the fruitless expenditure of past years? Only those.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, mine is on the budget for consultants. I want to know, Chair, that it does it a full under compensation of employment. And under goods and services. I want to know again, Chair, how much percentage of that budget goes to the consultation in the department. The second one, Chair, how much has been allocated for the integrated justice system network for DCS? Thank you, Chair.
Well,
thanks, Chair. The presenter talked about the IT lady who has been there for 25 years in the department. Now, I just want to check, how much does she earn an hour?
Of course.
For how long has she been there in the DCS? Is there a plan to advertise the post for her?
Right.
Thanks.
All right. You and everybody else that wants to respond, you can respond. There's at least 7 questions that you guys would need to respond to. But in any order, and anybody, it's fine.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. I'll respond to the ones I can respond, and then I'll ask Katrina and the CFO to respond to others. On IFMS, actually, we've been working on since last Tuesday, continuing on to Saturday.
Yep.
What I tried to do was to understand everything holistically that needs to be done. And we have this 18-page document where IFMS is on page 16. We say prepare the environment for IFMS. And the way forward there, we said register the project in the Enterprise Project Management Office by the 21st of October. And then the other item is engage with CETA to understand the system requirements. Now, now that you're saying we should involve National Treasury, we'll gladly do that. My understanding also is that there's been some activities that took place between CETA and business on that on the score, but we needed to look at that and say what exactly has been done and how we can we can assist. All right. Okay. The key driver being business. That I can agree more with. What we did was, one of the things that one realized when I got there was that, yes, there were projects that were technology projects that were running with high business implications. And one of the challenges was that on the audience that you saw, for example, on the outcomes, was that business participation was fluctuating on some of them. There were others, and I know Ms. Trainer once called me on one of the projects that she was running on, and then we talked about it. But in general, business in the department needs to be more involved on that. Now, on this enterprise project management office that's business-driven, the steering committee is the minister, there are business projects in there, and then there's a category of projects called IT stabilization. When I realized that this is what needs to be done, and the minister actually expressed a concern about IT actually running away like a headless chicken, I stopped, through the national commissioner, the IT project office, closed it down, and we wrote a new charter where we are implementing it into as a subset of the enterprise business project office, meaning that now there will be proper alignment at that level. Okay. We're going to be working on a business charter, and there's going to be no project that we have that wouldn't have a sponsor from that level. So alignment is beginning to take place, and there is, of course, confusion and resistance because someone will say this is how we've been doing things, and one has to try them in the right direction. Confidentiality is a mistake on my part. I will reclassify the pigment accordingly.
You don't have to
decide.
I'll classify it as top secret. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, what's going to happen to the staff in the department? On one of the slides there, we said we have about 20 people at head office, and about three of them really are not operational. You're talking about someone who's just been dismissed, two people who've been suspended. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but one of those people who's been suspended, their security person, has tendered in a resignation. There's really no one.
That's a tough report.
Excuse me?
No, continue.
Continue. The new structure, that's why it's very important that we fill the new structure as quickly as possible. And I've impressed that on my colleagues from HR, and we will be sitting next week to shortlist for those positions jointly with them.
Just what self was saying, you indicated there's 153 people.
Yeah, I'm coming to that.
Oh, is that where you're coming to? Yeah, that's the question that he wants to answer. Yeah.
Okay, I need a clarification here. I did not mean that Kimberley is not usable. Maybe I should have put it this way. What we have in Kimberley, the technology is not bad technology, but the way it was implemented was not done correctly, to the point where the original equipment manufacturer, for example, if you were to say, Microsoft, here's your solution here, can you certify that it's done correctly? They cannot do it correctly. They cannot certify it. But it is a usable set of technology. And when we designed, we standardized on the technology that's used in Kimberley. Who owns the intellectual property of consultants? One of the exercises that we went into was to actually start by getting them to sign confidentiality reports. And we started looking at the minimum information standards templates to say they need to do that. And related to that, we said even though the network infrastructure is struggling, we need to have them move the data to the department. Now, that process is a challenge because now we need resources to validate that, and the security chain managers resigned was supposed to do that. But that's another thing that's a worrying point, and that needs to happen as quickly as possible.
You're not helping us. No? Mm-hmm. He's asking the question, who owns what we have currently?
The department owns it.
The department owns it. So nobody can walk away from it there and say, it's my thing, I'm going with it, and we're exposed.
No. I'm
raising that. Yeah. Because the AG specifically was saying they are scared about the exposure that we have in terms of this very matter. Yeah. That is why itself is raising it.
Okay.
We don't want consultants to walk away and say, we developed it, we own it, and then DCS is left with nothing. That's the question. And He's basically asking the question, is that true? And if it is true, the obvious question is, what are you guys doing about it going forward?
It is scary. It's true. Yeah. That one cannot stop someone from coming with a CD and copying stuff and all that, even if they don't say it's ours. So I think there needs to be an exercise that one can do today. How do you make sure that we ring-fence this environment? But it is something that's a risk right there.
I think what we are saying is you need to make sure
that
whoever lives there can't live with something so that we can't use it tomorrow. I agree that they can copy it and take it away. The AG is saying that he's scared that somebody might say, we developed this thing and we're going with it, and then DCS has nothing but manual procedures. We're saying you better make sure it doesn't happen. I think that's the question that we're raising. Because the AG has raised it as a risk. We are saying to you guys, now that you are saying that it is possible, find a way when you come back to us in March to explain what are you doing about, not in March, in November. What are you doing about fixing it up? Because you're confirming Mr. Sal's point that it is a risk area. You may continue, sir.
I wrote some notes here. I need clarification on what's in place after consultants left, after they leave. Are we talking about officials?
We're talking about warm bodies.
Yeah. If they were to leave, say, tomorrow, there would probably be nothing.
Yeah.
In terms of people with the right skills, let's take applications environment, for example. We don't have the director who was in there. Really, when you look at the responses he gave to the Auditor General, for example, this is someone who really was not strategic in terms of looking and saying, this is what we need to move to, and these are the things that we need to make sure that things are in place. And we had a situation where at some point, you know, he was actually fighting with the Auditor General, and I said, no, you cannot do that. Don't do that to Auditor General in general. You need to say, this is what's wrong, this is how I'm going to fix it. Right? Underneath him, really, there are maybe two, but very junior officials.
No, it's fine, Bob. We're looking at corporate service.
Okay.
We are saying to you that when we come here in March, you need to indicate to us what is your plan for skills transfer, or of acquiring people with at least the basic skills on this matter. I think that's what we are saying to you, because you are saying to us, if these guys go, we might as well close shop. So what we want from HR, Rasarako, and everybody else, what are you guys doing? You know, this thing of saying it's going to take you 6 months to find somebody, Ngagilung, it's not going to work with us anymore. Self has been saying for the past week, now is the time to go to Wits University, to go to Stellenbosch University, put up your table there, and employ IT officials. So don't come back to us, Rasaroke, and say to us, it's taking us 6 months. One, you in contravention of what the president said a year ago about filling vacancies as soon as possible, and two, it's a crisis for us. So I think let's just deal with it so that when we leave here, everybody knows, Guti, this is what I must report on tomorrow. Is that okay? Thank you, sir.
Can I add, Chair, that I did make a comment earlier on, say that I said in the interviews of the junior people, and I can vouch that I'm quite confident, especially on the programming side, that I said they are the foundation going forward what needs to be done. Maybe let me talk to the question about the numbers on consultants. We had 83, right? That's one number. We had 50 on this ADOMS. Right. When we said we're going to stop development, the ADOMS one fell off by themselves because they were coming in through a dimension data. Now, the 83 were the ones from which we subtracted the 30 or so, and you're left with about 53.
Okay. And, Chair, can I just ask, subsequent, have we employed anybody, any new consultants during your period?
Yes. Okay. Let me respond to that.
Sure.
Yes. Right now, we had to bring in two more people. The reason being that when the infrastructure manager left, we advertising the positions, and just the volume of work, the sheer volume of work, when you get things like your VPN and so on, we had to get new people, one somebody at least on infrastructure, and someone on another area on service management. And what I said to National Management Committee is that to be realistic, you know, there's a world of what you want in the world of reality. To deliver on this, when you look at the network, without going technical, you're going to need on the three regional offices about six engineers on the six regional offices and people who support them on the switching and routing technologies, right? We said we cannot wait until we have appointed the DC applications and advertise and all that. Work has to continue. So what I said to the last management committee is that there could be even about 6 to 8 others who are more efficient than the ones that we had, who could help hold the fort. But those will come in with detailed information to say this person is responsible for this and it's going to start from this end to this end. We're also going to use the CETA 570 tender process on services. The project office, like I said, was a mess. Like to configure all those, we are going to have to go through that process and get someone we need for 2 months or for a month to secure that. So the reality is you cannot, in as much as we remove those 30, there could be 5 or 2 or whatever to get the work continuing. But as we fill the structure, obviously we'll target some of these key positions.
Let's try and help it. Well, I think what we are saying, Jeff, is that we understand in the IT world you can never survive without consultants by the nature of the work. I think what we are saying, you can't have a situation where the entire department is consultant.
Yes, I agree.
I think that's what we are saying. We might have to discuss at some point amongst ourselves, what do we think is the threshold in terms of consultants at any given time, 5%, 3%, but 100% consultants I think is a problem, because you're going to have to answer this question just now about the management of it. And maybe, Mr. Self, if you want to follow it up, it's fine. But I really think our message is we can't continue, and those that you have can't be a 25-year project, as Osbaba Kele is saying. We just think the management of consultants currently has been a problem. And go away and give us a plan just on the management of consultants. One, in terms of the term, in terms of their brief, and in terms of how much we're paying them, and in terms of the skills development. Really come and tell us how you're managing consultants in the IT industry. There's always going to be one or two that's going to upgrade, but when you come back, maybe we'll say to you that we think that the norm will be 5% or 10%, and I'm hoping that people in the AG's office will be able to tell us what is an acceptable number of percentage-wise of IT people coming in and out. But as it is happening currently, it's not acceptable and it's not sustainable. Mr. Self, do you want to ask anything?
Yeah.
Just, I understand these. It's a Mr. Simusu, is it, and Mishlangu, the two consultants appointed.
Okay. Mr. Masangu was there for about 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he was brought in to... There's a gentleman by the name of Pai and Malewa who was looking at telephony and so on. He was let go, right? And the reason why he had to go, when I first got into office, I was given a document with about more than a million rands worth of stuff without going on tender. Say, sign of this so that we can prove this. Now, that gentleman was also involved on the other audit queries about giving tenders to other companies or being involved in that process. Mm-hmm. So he had to go. But there was an area where we needed someone like that. And we have to get someone through. There's a number of companies that are on what used to be CETA tender 569. And we went through those companies, and then now we said we need an extra person or two people. Mr. Smosu is also an infrastructure person. He's still there, and he was brought in specifically. You know, I had to, for example, we had to, when we send a delegation to St. Albans and all those places, there was no one else that we could send that with that type of skill. So he had to do that kind of work.
The point I'm simply making is that we all know this is a mess, and in addition to the number and limiting it and managing it, I also want some information about how we select a consultant. What are the criteria? Who makes the decision? Does this, you know, who makes the decision?
Okay.
No.
You don't have to answer that one now, because we are asking you for some stuff. We want consultant management.
Okay.
What is the process of acquiring them? What brief do you give them? Who monitors that they're doing what they're supposed to? The entire thing, because we, as you can hear,
have a phobia about consultants and so on amongst ourselves. So can you guys come back and not today, but come and give us a brief on the commitment?
Chairperson?
It seems to me when we are talking to DCS, every single unit that is coming here, we have to remind them about the professionals program, because till today they didn't give us their recruitment strategy. So every time when they come with a unit, we remind them the professionals program, because they are a professionals program for them to recruit from. This thing of we needed these consultants now, it's nonsense, Chairperson. It's nonsense. They are not going to bully us here and give us any to-know information, because we did indicate to them there is a professionals program. According to the State of the Nation address, they were supposed to know what the president is looking for, and we also reminded them. And I assume we are talking to management here. There are some managers here, and some of them are sitting in the management meetings, and I think they do communicate that information when they are sitting in management meetings. We do want them to do away with the consultants, we do with graduates.
Chairperson, I don't know. I have a sneaky suspicion that if I look at this presentation of today...
No, don't open up a new one.
No. Consultants, Chair. Consultants. My suspicion, Chair, is that it's a consultant that prepared it, unless it can be proven otherwise. Furthermore, Chair, the 30 consultants, according to slide 16, that were released... Now, Chairperson, you know, a release can take place in many ways. What Mr. Self asked earlier is very relevant, but I think what I need to know is that what form did the release take? Bearing in mind that DCS is currently facing claims against them, litigation, to the tune of 1.3 billion. Now, I hope that the manner in which these people were released, these consultants, will not add to further claims against the department. And the other related question to that, Chair, is of those 30 that have been released, how many of them have had recurring contracts or obligations with DCS? Was it 30 different people who had done a once-off consultation job, or was it 30 people or firms or organizations that amongst which some of them had recurring contracts? And of all the consultants that the DCS has engaged, again, the question is how many of them were actually engaged previously as well, and how many times? I don't think you'll have all the information, but arising from your responses, these are the sort of things that bother one. Mm. Thank you, Chair.
Let us agree that you're going to go away and come back with a comprehensive response on IG consultant management. Entirely. The exit strategy for those that you are planning to go, in light of the fact that there's litigation for unfair dismissals and so on, all these things we're asking is to help us with our reports. You would need to answer all these other questions that members are asking around IT. When you employ somebody, who takes the decision? What is the process? What is the brief that they're given, if any? Is there a limit on time frames? Are there people that we employ today, he goes away tomorrow and he comes back, that is a consultant just in name, but he's basically full-time and working? The entire IT process, including what the costs are going to be going forward. We don't want to know about going backwards. Going forward, what the costs are going to be. So we're not going to deal with the IT. But there are still questions that members ask that, that you would need to respond to very briefly. The first one is, what is the quantum of fruitless expenditure. Because there's been all this stuff up to now, and now we're told that there's a brand new architecture that's in place. So what is the quantum of the fruitless expenditures over the past couple of years, if you know it? Then we're asking CFO specifically, are you guys checking for fronting when it comes to consultants' employment? This one will be Vincent Smith, that one will be Cindy, that one will be Abraham, but they all belong to Bosasa. Is there, what are you guys doing? Because we are serious about this thing. Somebody's head will roll. And then obviously the question with this one going forward, which I think is irrelevant. Who is the architect of this thing? Is it consultants or is it yourself? Or is it yourself together with business, as you had indicated earlier on, because they must have a role to play? Mm. Who really has designed that thing? So that you must answer. Then the... Just maybe you can answer this one very briefly. The consultants' salaries, for want of a better word, or fees or whatever. I think Ma'am Gwenya was asking was, does that fall separately, or does that fall under goods and services, or does that fall under compensation? You can answer that. You don't have to give us the rand and cents. You can just tell us where it fits in currently. Then there's the whole question around, is this thing taking into account all other government programs, maybe not just the justice one, all other government programs around these things? We know, for instance, that Home Affairs has a role to play in the identification one. So you mustn't do something here that tomorrow doesn't talk to the Home Affairs fingerprint or whatever ID system. It doesn't talk to whatever's happening in the justice class. In other words, is this a silo or is this an integrated government program? And then, of course, I suppose, Baba Kwele, you're one of 25 years, we'll deal with it in terms of the management, or do you want it specifically? Management. All right. The 25 years consultant, how are we managing that person out, or how are we going to make that person a permanent somebody? You don't have to answer it now. That can come in your paper. All right. Thanks. If you can answer these very briefly, because members want to ask a second round of questions. In any order, anybody can answer very briefly.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of how do we monitor the funding of consultants, Chairperson, one principal thing that we never ever see the exercise that care will start with the funding of consultants. And in terms of how do we the consultants are obtained, other consultants are paying the global services because most of them are because they have HR or other companies. And others, you find that the retirement contract workers, of which they think that they have a very off consultant, as well as others, not in the truth, those contract workers, you find that it's not only in IT, you find that there are consultants like Kelvin Mechanical, project manager, and Triple P. That one comes as a contract worker. We paid through our PESAP system, according to the salary structure of the department. It paid differently. So I cannot just say all these consultants, this is where they come from.
All right. Going forward, are you able to ring fence IT consultant costs for us? The rest, we don't mind where you put them for this exercise. Mm. But we want to have an idea. How much is the department paying for IT outsourced versus ingrown IT? Going forward, you can do that for us. All right. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need to respond to Honourable Member Abrams, if I'm not mistaken. That was done by me. This is a combination of the presentation, snippets of what I've been presenting to National Management Committee. I am, in terms of my experience, I've done IT for many years. And I've been a GITO at Public Works. I've been a GITO at Land Affairs. I've been in the private sector. I've been everywhere, including spending 50 years in the U.S. in IT and engineering. So I am able to do that. It comes from me. I don't need... Actually, let me not go into detail, but that comes from me.
Chairperson, can I just speak? I think it's important to address the issue that was raised around the relationship between the IT process and business. I think that part of what is important for the Portfolio Committee to understand is that a lot of the projects that Mr. Morji has been speaking to, for example, the Remand Detainees and Offender Management System, comes out of the MISP project, which was a 2005-06 project, in which, as business, we had a major sit-down to say, what do we need to ensure we have as information systems that will give us the kind of data that we need in the department. I think Mr. Morji has already reflected, and I want to emphasize it very strongly, that subsequent to that project, business has not been as engaged with those projects as we should have been. It varies from project to project. The governance systems were put in place, but we've not sustained that involvement, and I think that that's part of what we need as the National Management Committee to be able to turn around in this process. But I think that what has also become very clear with the analysis and intervention that has been done since Mr. Morji was appointed was that a lot of those projects were in fact not going to be able to be operationalized and deliver until the basic infrastructure, the architecture, the rationalization of the applications had actually been attended to, and hence some of them have been put on hold. And he referred to the performance management system project which we are driving as the business owners of it, that we've agreed needs to be put on hold until we've reached a sufficient process in relation to that. That master information systems plan, in terms of DPSA's requirements, requires an annual revision. It's a multi-year plan. It requires an annual revision, and currently as part of the mid-year review that we're embarking on at the moment, what we are tasking the branches to do is to be able to say, as a business owners, what is it that you need, and what is it that you need as your top priority, so that as the delivery takes place on what Mr. Morji has been presenting here, we're then able to say our priority is in fact RDOMS and it's module 1 of RDOMS, or it's module 3 of RDOMS, and we're able to go forward. But I think that we need to recognize very upfront that the partnership over the last couple of years has not been where it should be, but in terms of everything that Mr. Morji has been presenting, it's been a constant process of it being brought into our management meeting, so that reconnection is there. It's also an important element of reinstituting what we had previously as the Information Systems Board. Mr. Morji is now talking about it as the IT Steercom, but that's also the place where that interface comes through to ensure that IT is in fact enabling what business requires. So hopefully our APP going forward will be benefiting from the interaction with the MISP. The eight-year roadmap that we developed will be subjected to a review during this mid-year review to align it appropriately with our strategic requirements.
Thank you, Chairperson. One other question was IJS, how much funding? IJS has allocated about $20 million to the department for this year. As I speak right now, there is an IJS board meeting where we're talking about how to do integrated work. And part of the challenge is that the board hasn't been functioning effectively, and there's a new proposal on how to move on forward so that there could be even more funding injected in terms of some of the projects that we need. But our architecture looks at IJS, and everything that we do and prioritization will be done jointly with IJS.
There's only one. I've been taking notes. There's only one that you're not going to answer now. Can between yourself and the CFO, because both of you are new. Both of you are new and not necessarily implicated. Can I request that you guys come and look me in the eye the next time you see me and answer Mr. Self's question? How much of the expenditure, at least since 2009, do we really think has been fruitless and we can't use? We know that our ROMS is not fruitless in the sense that it's put on hold until the basics are up and we might be able to use it again. But I think Mr. Self is saying, just come and be very honest with us, guys, because we need to learn. How much of this lots of money that we've spent since 2009 do we think has been truly fruitless? Because it's not going to fit into the new business plan. Just give us an indication, because I think we'd be able to use that going forward. I think that's Mr. Self's question. And none of you are going to be implicated in. We're saying to you, just be honest with us on that one. Is that okay?
Just a bit before 2009, but quite a lot of expenditure took place, as Jenny said, between 2005 and 2005.
Can you just give us that? Those that can be retrieved and used and tweaked, it's fine. But that is really just dead wood, just give us an indication of it for our own purposes. Can we then move on to another round of questions? It is 3:45. Can we agree that by 4:15 we'll release you? Is that going to be in time for you to catch your flight? What is the absolute latest that you need to be out of here for your flight? 4:30? Too late. 4:00? Well, it's 4:00. Okay, we've got 15 minutes then. Everybody's had an opportunity. So can we be brief so that we allow them also time to respond? Let's start with you, Palisa, and then go to Kwela. They'll respond. We've got 15 minutes, and then Advocate Max.
I'll be short, Chairperson. The Kimberley Center, Chairperson, was supposed to be the flagship internationally. And every time the Kimberley Center is coming up in bad planning, fruitless expenditure, and this is not a nice flagship to brag about. For me, to management, I'm giving them a future homework. I would like them to investigate whether in the contracts and the planning of the center, do we have DCS officials who are contractors to that center? DCS and other departments. Officials, yes. Yes, Chairperson. If I can remember very well that cameras were not even working there. That's how the new center at the unit that were bent down by offenders. Really, I would like that one to be investigated, because every time the very new center that was planned, when it was designed, it was 400 million. And at the end of the project, we came to 900 million, which is a very huge state funding. 500 million misplanning, it's a million even was too much. So really, I need to ask for an investigation or detailed information about the whole system planning and contractors involved. So the contractors and the consultants involved, do we have officials, state officials of DCS and other departments? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks,
Honorable
Chair. I'm on this report now. Page 165. No, Chair, I just want clarity because I'm just a layman. These other consumables materials, can you just unpack for what are those? Because I'm looking at the money that is going to be used or has been used.
Where are we, Baba?
5.5 inventory.
And you're assuming those are 80.
Yes.
Well, maybe
we'll
ask the
CFO, yeah.
You know
yeah.
Thank you. Advocate next. Thanks, Jay. I just want to hear from Mr. Moji. He presented now this nice flagship, and also there's a concern about certain shortcomings maybe from the AG side. When are we going to get a proper implementation plan so that we as the committee can monitor your progress so that you can explain as to why you didn't meet to implement certain things at certain times. Because, Chairperson, you know, I'm not surprised when I heard about the non-existence of and the fragmentation which exists with IT within this department, that I'm not surprised that the National Commissioner has to attend the hospital and he's going to attend frequently the hospital with this thing. That's a problem. Stressful. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I said, let me speak. I can't be in the meeting and keep quiet. But what I'm going to speak, Chairperson, is relevant. As I was sent to Bedal, the other thing that that the members raised to me, that look what happened to the IT. Sondolo is having a contract here, but what happened is that they speak about with the center commander, and then the center commander take one official to work in the IT. That official was not employed to be part of that contract, but is working as a contract, and then Sondolo will see what he will do with the section the commander. So also I think if they can check that
that exists
there in Petal. I get the information and I said no, I'm not coming here for this. Now I'm coming here for that. But they stressly speaking this as if look, we knew, all of us we knew that this person was supposed to work in the correctional service, but now he's been put here, he's working for the contract, which is the IT contract. So this is also happened in our correctional centers. I thank you, Chair.
Response to that? Very briefly, it's your time, remember?
Let me remind you quickly what they are. Of course, the ones of Sis Paliso is just saying, can you come back and tell us, are there any ex-officials that were hired as consultants? What are the consumables, if you know off by hand? And then, Baba, you will answer the implementation plan. When can we expect an implementation plan? And then, of course, the last one about Bethel. Yeah?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will see that on the committee of writing is not made up of different items, so they have been categorized and granted each item how much it is.
Chairperson, on the last one, I obviously don't know the specifics of the individual, and I will get the name of the person concerned and come back to it, but I thought that what I should just flag is that with the control rooms, we had ensured that DCS officials were located within those control rooms, so I'm not sure whether it's a misunderstanding of that, but I will undertake to get the name of the person concerned and follow up on it and provide any further clarity other than that.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the implementation plan, it's going to be, I can provide a plan with a percentage of certainty. And planning, remember I said, for example, I led a team where from last Tuesday to Saturday, we came up with this. It's going to be quite involved. I can make it available, but it's something that we're going to refine to the point where the uncertainty is small, but it's massive work that needs to be done. I'm not sure when is the next meeting.
Sunday will let you know in March. Okay. Not in March, in November, isn't it? 23rd of November. We just want a Gantt chart that says end of January, this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
End of 2011, this is what's going to happen, so that we can monitor that
okay.
type of thing.
Some of that, Chairperson, might be planning. I have something that might be a Gantt chart here where we have actual dates.
Thank you very much. Ngiyavala, any more questions? All right, let us thank you very much.
There's just a few things that I want to note, especially from your input, Jeff. The first one, you spoke about the fact that the current systems don't have firewalls, everybody can get in and get out. Unfortunately, that thing can't wait for this. You guys have to come and tell us what it is that you're doing. We don't want anybody going in and changing current inmates' details, as has happened in Boksburg. So you need to come and tell us that you more or less have it under control. The fact that there are no firewalls currently is something that you need to look at. You also indicated, and I sympathize with you, and I'm talking more to CFO and to Ms. Reiner. I sympathize with you when you indicate that there are some people there saying, Guti, I'm not going to learn anything new. I don't want to. Well, if he doesn't want to learn anything new, he has got no place there. You might be in a tight spot because you're acting. But the next time Ms. Reiner or CFO, if I have to ever hear the acting somebody saying, look, my hands are tied because there are just individuals who don't want to move, I'd expect the three of you in that corner, before it gets to us, to act on it. You know, we've said to inmates, you don't go to school, you don't work, you're not going to get patrol. You're not going to get parole. We've said that to all inmates around the country. You work, you go to school, if you qualify for parole. It's the same thing with you guys. If you don't want to change and be able to fit into this thing, then we'd rather pay you to get out of the system than to have you sabotage the system. So I sympathize with you, Jeff, but I think you need to raise all those type of things with these three people that are here. That's why we've asked them to be here. And then also copy us on it. That, look, these are the areas of resistance, on IT specifically. These are the areas of resistance. We've raised them with HR, we've raised them with finance, we've raised them with business, so that we can ask business and HR and finance. We can't afford to carry people that are like that. And then the final thing from our side, and I think it must be borne in mind also when you do your strat plan, you know, don't pride yourself in saying in all your procurement you've got so many HDIs. Because that's what the country is talking about, historically disadvantaged. In this IT specifically, I would rather fight for quality than for quantity and having black faces, because this is security.
Yeah.
When you're doing fencing, when you're doing stationary, I'd be worried if you don't have historically disadvantaged. Here, I would rather have somebody that knows his job and that has that ISO qualification that you're talking about than to populate it with people that are right politically but are wrong for the business practices. Okay. So we want transparency in terms of these things. Having said that, thank you very much, and to our guests and friends and everybody else, thank you. We will then take this and everything else and incorporate it in our BRR. And we will follow up many of these things with you guys when we come back. Auditor General, thank you very much. You guys have been very useful and very helpful to us. And in our final report, we might come to you just to verify one or two things. But my understanding is that Cindy's going to prepare a report that we will look at and then submit to Parliament in terms of our interactions. But please keep your phones open. We might want to verify one or two things with you. Meeting is adjourned. We meet tomorrow.
10.
No,
we know tomorrow we meet at 12, because remember, we want Cindy and them to finish the report. We only have one item, just to...
How long do you think it's going to take?
If we're all here as we are here now, it'll take us 20 minutes. One agenda item, approve the BRR report.
Okay, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, we can make it earlier. I just thought to give Cindy them time. If you want it 11 to 12, but I don't think it's going to take more than an hour. And I'm saying 12 because it gives Cindy and more time to do and incorporate what we've had here now. Sure. But can we appeal that members, all of us, for 15 minutes, because we have to adopt this report tomorrow. It's at 12 o'clock. It's in this very venue. And the draft report will be distributed by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, the one incorporating today's activities. And hopefully, if we're happy with it, we shouldn't be here for longer than 20 minutes.
We are adopting it.